listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Here's your host, Dr. Mike Chubb.
Welcome back, friends, to CMDA Matters, where we explore the issues that matter most to Christian healthcare professionals. Whether you're in healthcare or simply interested in how God is working through Christ followers in patient care and beyond, we are glad you're here with us today. On this week's episode, we're joined by an old friend of mine, a man whose life's work has brought both healing and hope to one of the most underserved regions in the world. And his name is Dr. Klaus-Dieter John. He's a renowned general surgeon trained at Harvard as well as Yale, Johannesburg, and Berlin. He's also a medical missionary and the visionary behind Diospi Suyana, a modern hospital serving the Quechua people of the Peruvian Andes. Diospi Suyana means, in Quechua, we trust in God. And that trust has shaped every step of his journey. For nearly two decades, Dr. John and his wife, pediatrician Dr. Martina John, have dedicated their lives to this mission, and they've overcome unimaginable obstacles to bring high-quality medical care and the gospel to thousands who had little to no access to health care. Dr. John is also the author of a book, I Have Seen God, and it chronicles the miraculous story of Diospi Suyana and the many ways that God has provided for their work in ways that defy human explanation. His story will challenge as well as inspire you to trust in God's calling, even when the road ahead seems impossible. In this episode, Dr. John shares the incredible challenges and triumphs of establishing a world-class hospital in the heart of the Andes and how faith and medicine intersect to transform lives. His testimony, friends, is nothing short of extraordinary. So let's jump in. Well, today, friends, on CMDA Matters, I have a delightful privilege because I have a guest who is from South America on his way to Europe who just decided to drop by Bristol, Tennessee on his way to Germany. And that's Dr. Klaus-Dieter John, an old friend. Welcome today, Dr. Klaus John.
Thank you very much for having me. It's for me a great honor to be with you.
I was in my office as medical director at Tenwick Hospital in rural Kenya. And one afternoon, my secretary came and said, there's a gentleman from Peru who's German who would like to meet with you. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. So I had a chance to meet Dr. Klaus together with his son, Dominic, that afternoon and to hear your incredible story. And little did I know that we would be crossing paths again in 2022, right here in this building, Klaus.
That is true. And I hope the next time we meet at our hospital in Peru that you come as a visitor.
That would be a delightful thing for me. And at that time in 2022, after COVID, I said, you know, one of these fine days, we should get together and have a chat so our listeners of CMDA Matters would get to meet you and hear you and hear an incredible story, a story of building a hospital from the ground up, from nothing, and you have seen God at work. In fact, you've written a book, I Have Seen God. Tell our listeners, I mean, it's a long story, but hey, let's get into it. Tell us how in the world that two German doctors, a married couple, a surgeon and a pediatrician, accomplished building one of the finest healthcare facilities in a South American country like Peru from the ground up while raising your family. Take us back to the beginning.
Well, I met my wife Tina in high school. She was 16, I was 17. Didn't take long to find out that we both shared exactly the same vision. We wanted to go to medical school to spend our entire lives as medical doctors in a third world country. And while Tina became a pediatrician, she's also board certified in the United States and in Germany, I became a surgeon. And very important was a vision trip we took to Peru in
91,
we had no children at the time. We traveled back and forth, Peru, Ecuador, Bolivia for 3 months. And we saw so much human suffering in the mountains, especially among the Quechua people, the descendants of the ancient Incas. And leaving Peru in April 91, we decided, well, we have to come back to build a hospital for these people. And Well, we started with nothing, but it has become a modern hospital that has reached out so far to over 500,000 poor people.
And how big is the hospital?
Well, it's a very nice medical infrastructure. 250 companies have donated equipment and money to it. About 150,000 private people have supported this ministry. It got room for 100 beds, 6 operating rooms. It got 10 ICU beds and a dental clinic, eye clinic, 15 specialties. And usually we have a group of 10 long-term Christian doctors that serve at least for 3 years, some up to 10 years or longer. So when we have this support, which I mentioned, that allows us to treat poor patients, and they pay $1.2 to be seen by a doctor. So we try to have the best medicine in the world for the poorest of the poor.
And affordable for the
and
poor.
And affordable, exactly.
Yeah. So the hospital is pronounced Hospital
Diospi Suyana.
Suyana.
It's Quechua. The Quechua are the descendants of the ancient Incas, a mighty empire that covered basically Peru, Ecuador, and Bolivia. And the Quechua people, in their language, it means we trust in God. It's an expression of our faith in God.
You are a very internationally trained healthcare professional, a surgeon, and so is your wife. So you've had your original training in Germany, but also you've been in the U.S. with training?
I spent 15 months as a medical student at various places, finished up at the Mass General Hospital at Harvard. And then later on, we returned to the States to spend 2 years at Yale University as a resident. Good training. And then one of my preceptors, Professor Dr. Motlin, who was Jewish, said, Klaus, you want to operate a lot, you have to go to South Africa. I went to South Africa for 2 years. And then I finished up at the Universal Hospital Berlin.
Yeah.
And then we left for Peru.
Your story, because I've had a chance to read your story. There's actually an article written by our sister organization in the United Kingdom, Christian Medical Fellowship. And their magazine, just like our CMDA Today magazine, is called The Triple Helix. And in the December issue, your story about Hospital
Diospi Suyana.
Diospi Suyana was written. And in that story, it was very clear. I think a number of people think that those of us who've served in career missions that, you know, just that faith came easy for us and that maybe we live in a different plane. But your story is clearly that faith has been a struggle for you, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Well, I grew up in a Christian home, yes, but only 4% of Germans go to church. So 96% of Germans stay in bed faithfully Sunday morning.
Yes.
So my peers, my friends at high school, university, of course, they were agnostics or atheists, so were my teachers. So if you want to live a Christian life, you have to think really hard. Is it the truth or not? Because you're ridiculed. People will frown you if you talk about God. It's not very popular. So I want to know for sure if what the Bible says is true. And there's another aspect. Faith has never come easy for me, but also I was many times scared of dying. If I had a knee pain, perhaps it's a bone tumor. If I had a headache, perhaps it's a brain tumor. So I want to know desperately whether Jesus was right when he said there's eternal life. So my whole life circled around this question. Is God real? Is there hope? Is there forgiveness? Is there eternal life? And well, I have to tell you, back in November 95, I was out in the fields in Germany. It's a cold month, yeah, really cold, ice cold. And I was screaming at the top of my, God, where are you? I want to see you. And 15 years later, I published my first book, I Have Seen God.
And then you followed up by that God sees.
God has seen us.
God has seen us.
Walking on waters.
And then walking on water. And you're working on another book right now, aren't you?
That will come out next week in Germany. Diospisa, an experiment with God. So, and the message is that faith is not blind. It's not subjective. It's hard data. It's evidence-based.
Now, I want you out there listening today to hear a story because you have so many stories that you could tell, and you tell many of those in your books, but you just told me a fairly recent story earlier in my office about someone who by accident heard your story.
Well, that's an amazing story. Hard to believe, but it's true. In 2022, so 3 years ago, a German businessman, he's Catholic, he wanted to download a few songs on Spotify, And he got mixed up, and a few days later discovered that on his smartphone there was an audio, I've Seen God, my first book, which then he listened to on one of his business trips in his car, and he was moved to tears. And he wanted to support our ministry. He forgot about it. But a year later, now comes the interesting part, his brother, who's professor of radiology at a big hospital in Erlangen, he won the Scientific Prize for Future with two engineers from Siemens. Now, what they've done is they developed a new MRI scanner that needs only 0.7 liters of helium instead of 1,500 liters. So now it's this MRI scanner can be used in any country. It's easy to handle.
Helium must be expensive, I'm guessing.
Expensive, and the whole thing is quite complicated, yeah? So when Stefan heard about this prize his brother won, it was actually awarded by the German president, he was reminded of the audio he heard, my book. He arranged a personal meeting, and in fact, we met at the Present Palace in Berlin just 3 months ago, and the winners of the prize and the Siemens company are donating a brand new MRI scanner to our hospital with a 10-year warranty period. It's a $1.5 million donation. And the whole thing happened because
of an
the
accident.
Brother of the winner got confused on Spotify.
Divine accidents that
absolutely
happened. Obviously providential. Incredible. And so that scanner will be installed
In April, 2 months.
In just a couple of months' time. The only one of its kind around the world outside of Germany.
That's given to a hospital as a donation. Yeah, I looked it up. There at least 300,000 hospitals in the South, African or Southeast Asia, I guess a lot more, but one hospital is getting this brand new as a donation because somebody got confused on Spotify.
So I've met hundreds, possibly thousands of medical missionaries, short and even long term over my career. And I would say many of us, including myself, saw a ministry in action that was happening. And I said, I want to join and be a part of that. But that was not Klaus and Martina. You wanted to start from scratch, something new, and be in a place that would meet a great need. As you look back over the 20-plus years since you broke ground on your first building, did you envision this, that what you have now there in Peru?
We had a great dream. In fact, people in Europe that heard about it back in 2004 and 2005, thought we are crazy, completely crazy, brand new hospital for people that would never be able to afford pay for this, yeah? And to be seen by a doctor and outpatients cost $1.2 at a hospital. That's a top-notch medical standard. But although our dream was big, what God has done out of this is beyond our imagination. The hospital has reached out now to 570,000 poor patients. Over the years, we've got 6 operating rooms. We do very sophisticated surgery. Mm-hmm. And we've got 15 departments on a high, high level. We had, for instance, patients all over Peru, from all the 24 states. They travel 10, 20, 30 hours, lining up sometimes 500 meters or 500 yards to be seen by a doctor. And God has been very faithful. And from the very start, we said, it's a faith ministry. We can't do it. God can do it. We trust God. And when we spread this message in secular Europe, where people don't go to church, people thought, they are very, very strange. It's just all mentally deranged. But I have to tell you one story. We met in Berlin with upper class people. In April 2004, we showed our vision, photos, a hospital, want to build, no money, nothing, but we had a dream. And they said, well, that's great. You have so much passion. Lovely. But don't talk about God. You're here in Europe to get money, equipment. Yes, we want to even support you, but don't talk about God. People don't like this in Europe. And we said, you know what? A modern hospital for the poor, only God can do it. It's humanly impossible. Mm-hmm. And then we said, and in fact, the question whether God exists or not is the most important question for everybody in the living room tonight. There are 11 people, upper class, atheist, agnostic, and they looked at him very, very almost hostile. Please don't talk about God to us, yeah. And they said, well, you can do what you want, but if you continue, you will never get on a secular television show with this. Never. Mm-hmm. The very next day, we gave a presentation north of Berlin at a decorated, renovated castle. There was an auditory for 150 people, packed full, and a secular television team taped the whole night. It was in a media loop for a whole week. And so far we had 117 television reports worldwide, most secular.
God has an interesting sense of humor, doesn't he?
He does.
To put it in the face of those folks.
Before we continue with this week's episode, here's a special announcement for you. Time is running out to register for the 2025 CMDA National Convention in St. Charles, Missouri on May 1st through 4th. Sponsored by Samaritan's Purse, this is the premier event for healthcare professionals, residents, students, and spouses to gather in community together. Our guest speakers include Dr. Eric McLaughlin, Ryan Bomberger, Aaron Hawley, and more. We can't wait to gather together and for God to show us how we can each be a spoke in the wheel for Christ in healthcare. So reserve your spot now. For more information and to register, visit natcon.cmda.org. We're excited to announce the newest addition to CMDA's long list of resources for our members, and it is specifically for students and residents. Called Standing Strong in Training, this new curriculum helps healthcare students and residents stand up against the cultural pressures facing Christians within healthcare today. The curriculum's 7 modules are designed for group settings, allowing attendees to solidify their foundational worldview beliefs regarding important issues, such as the beginning of life, end of life, and biblical sexuality. Each module also offers ideas of how to winsomely defend biblical values and positively interact with others in developing their worldview beliefs. For more information and to download this free resource, visit cmda.org/standingstrong. Let's jump right back into this week's episode.
You know, the power of healthcare to draw people in, you have leveraged that because you've started some other things. It's not just about healthcare in your community and in your facility. You've also started radio programs, and
yes,
you were telling me earlier about festivals that you're now
Christian
in your
festivals.
Third year. Tell us a little bit about that festival.
Well, when we were young, Tina and I went to England 8 times to the Greenbelt Festival. It's very much like the Harvest Festival in Pennsylvania that sometimes draws thousands of young people, Christian rock music. I went there twice, Petra, and, well, rock music. And we thought, let's do the same thing in Peru. So in the middle of nowhere. And we started doing this in 2023. We needed tents for thousands of young people. And the European market leader in tents, the Belgian company, I went there and presented our work, our ministry, and then I asked the people around in Belgium, do you believe in God? And they looked at me, and one said, God, I never ever thought about God in my life. But this company, they donated $600,000 worth of brand new tents for our Christian festival. We started in 2023 with 3,500, last year 4,000, and 412,000 on streaming.
What do you call your festival? What is the name of the festival?
Well, the first was Echo Los Andes. Echo, the music, Echo in Los Andes, the mountains. Last time, Gozo, Joy in the Andes. And this year, we have always a new theme, it's Vida. Vida in Los Andes, life in the Andes. And Jesus said, I want to give you life and fulfillment. Yeah. So we are it's based on the Gospel of John.
And you told me that tomorrow you have a meeting with a Latino rapper.
He got 200 million followers on YouTube, have heard his songs, and he will give the last concert. And on the last day, Andy Palau, the son of Luis Palau, he will preach. We also have a massive crusade, Plaza de Armas, the center of the town. And we hope that this year, like the year before, many hundreds of young people will convert and follow Christ.
That sounds very exciting. Now, let's change gears just a little bit. You have had a number of doctors coming from the U.S. Now, granted, it's Spanish speaking. And so for those who are listening, our audience out there, our constituents who do speak Spanish, what are the opportunities for them?
Well, right now we are a group of 50 long-term missionaries from many countries, also Americans, and they join us for at least 3 years. They have to raise their own support. Usually they come with a mission society. They have to find their houses. Of course, we offer help and we show them around. So there are many houses available. Occasionally, we accept short-term missionaries. Right now in gynecology, we've got a gap. Another long-term missionary is coming in November for 3 years, a gynecologist. But right now, this year, we need cover in traumatology and gynecology. In ophthalmology, we could use hands, and then we accept short-termers. But they have to be committed Christians, and they have to know Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. But now in America, there are thousands of doctors that speak Spanish. I know.
It's growing every year. It's growing every year. So that's an opportunity. I know I have many friends down at World Medical Mission, and I know that some of their post-residency program
and
fellows
they come to us as well.
Have come, and even one, I believe, has come back after a little bit of a global tour.
He has been with us now for 8 years, I believe.
What other opportunities are there? Let's talk about prayer. What kind of prayers would you covet from our listeners, from CMDA members and other constituents? How can we pray for you?
Well, our greatest needs are always to find replacements. Most missionaries join us for 3 years. They return home. Then we need another gynecologist. We need another urologist, whatever. So missionaries. And Jesus said, the harvest is big. And there are a few who work in the harvest. So missionaries. And then also a mission hostel that is well known in Peru. We had 64 television reports. We got enemies, people that envy this success. Mm. Medicine in a setting like Peru is money. It's money driven. People want to make money. And there's this mission hospital that charges 4 soles, $1.2 for patient to be seen. We are so many times highly praised on the media. So people hate us for this. And then there's corruption and government agents that make life difficult for us. So we always pray that God will protect us from the evil one. Yeah.
So it is so easy in a place like Diospiciana to have so much healthcare that needs to be done and the masses who come. Mm-hmm. I was told by my friends at World Medical Mission that you do a better job than most of saying, this is how much we can handle each day and this is how many patients we will see, which is an amazing self-discipline. But what I wanted to ask you, Klaus, is keeping the main thing of making sure that the gospel is proclaimed can be a challenge, and that keeping medical spiritual ministry alive when patient care is so demanding can be so hard. How do you keep the main thing, the main thing?
The hospital starts every morning, Monday to Friday, with a church service. So over the years, we have celebrated over 5,000 church services. And we had 570,000 patients. Of course, they have come with their friends and relatives. So almost 1 million people have been inside the church building, listened to a sermon. And what we preach in the morning is, well, it's a nice hospital, for sure. But we always lose the fight against death. You will die, so we will eat. Only the man of the cross can give us eternal life. So we totally focus on the gospel. We show the Jesus film, The Waiting Era, twice in Spanish and in Quechua. And all the missionaries have their own style, whether youth leaflets or whatever. They share their testimony. So it's almost impossible to enter a hospital and leave him without being exposed to the gospel. The church service, the Jesus film, and somebody is talking to you about faith. We have right next to the waiting area the chaplain. He offers to talk to anybody who wants to get spiritual advice. Mm-hmm. And people are very, very happy. And in fact, many thousands of patients come to hospital because they know they're committed Christians.
Klaus, we haven't really talked about your soulmate, your better half, and how important she is to the work there. My understanding is that she's the medical director.
I'm traveling 6 months, well, to sum it up, every year. I've been doing this now for 21 years. I haven't seen my wife, Tina, well, for 8 years, if you wish, because of my
frequent travels.
And Tina says, perhaps that's the reason why our marriage is so strong, because I'm absent.
She gets a vacation occasionally.
Exactly. Well, she's out working. The first to come in the morning, the last to leave. And she got a very open, charming spirit. So people feel at home. And she's important. Not only she's very bright and intelligent, but she keeps all the missionary team and the Peruvians together. We've got the radio ministry, the school, the hospital, of course, the most important. But the kids' club, we've got 10 clubs with 300 children that meet on a weekly basis. Now the festivals, and when I'm gone, she is the decision maker.
In terms of nationalization of both administration and your medical staff, where do things stand right now?
Well, we've got 50 long-term missionaries. We also get some short-termers, young people that they spent a year with us. And right now, 230 Peruvians, we pay 15 salaries per year. That's a requirement by law. Mm-hmm. So we're one of the most important, well, if you wish, companies or employees in the state of Apurimac. So we offer jobs. About 1,000 people live or make money and have an income because of the hospital. 100 taxi drivers shuttle our patients back and forth from Kodovasi, where we are, to the next city, Cusco or Abancay. Also many hotels, restaurants, they can maintain themselves because of the hospital.
How have you integrated medical and surgical education into what you're doing so that you are teaching men and women to fish?
Well, we signed, it's called a convenio, like treaties, agreements with several universities. So we always have residents joining us. Usually we have two or three from several different universities. We get medical students. We also teach young nurses. So over the years, I guess we have taught hundreds of nurses and doctors.
I'm sure that God's word has had a special place in your heart, vital for a life of a cross-cultural missionary. So do you have a life's verse that you could share with us? What a scripture that has really at the heart of who you are and what you do?
I've shared our testimony, a presentation to Christian, non-Christians alike, so far 3,370 times.
This is not your first rodeo database.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it always finishes up with Philippians 3:10. It doesn't matter whether I talk to Catholics, Protestants, or agnostics. I've quoted this at Harvard University when I talked to the professors there. All I want to know Christ and to experience the power of his resurrection. Mm-hmm. This has been my battle cry. I want to know. I want to experience. I don't want to just believe in something vaguely. I want to know for sure. And my whole life has circled around this question, is God real? And I've published now 4 books, 1,000 pages, with 200 stories that you cannot explain without a living God who responds faithfully to our prayers.
So in your book, I Have Seen God, tell us one more story of how you have seen God at the heart of that book that you wrote.
One story that is very dear to me, when we planned this hospital, we were hoping to find somebody, an engineer who can build it. It would take, of course, many years, perhaps 2 or 3 years, but for free, we wouldn't pay him a penny. And we looked around, some with experience, international experience. We didn't find anybody. And then it happened the 16th of February 2005 in Wiesbaden, my hometown, and I talked to a lawyer about a contract between the Hospiziana and a construction company that was supposed to build this place. $4 million construction, mm-hmm. $6 million equipment. And as we were sitting together, the hours passed, he said, you know what, Dr. John, I'm also a member of a charity group. We are 25 people from all over Germany, and we support an orphanage in Sao Paulo, Brazil. And then he mentioned, one of us used to work as a civil engineer, and I got so nervous. What is his name? Well, his name is Udo Clemens. Do you happen to have his telephone number with you? That was 20 years ago. He looked in his back, a booklet with telephone numbers, not his smartphone, 20 years ago. There's the number. And I asked for an instant break to make a quick phone call to Mr. Clemens, Udo Clemens. I never met before. And I said, Mr. Clemens, I'm calling from Wiesbaden. My wife and I want to build a hospital in Peru. Far away, 10,000 miles. I just heard about you as engineer. Could you do it? Could you run the show? A year, two, whatever it takes. But we're not paying you. And he's very quiet. And then said, Dr. John, I live 1 hour north of Frankfurt. If you wish, you can see me tonight. So I visit him that night. I gave a presentation in his living room to Udo Clemens, his wife Barbara, and they listened attentively. And then his wife Barbara said, you know what, Dr. John, we're Lutheran Christians. For 3 days, we've been praying to God for a special purpose in our life. And this morning, sitting in our kitchen, we said, God, what do you want us? We're here to serve you. We prayed, amen. Within 5 minutes, he called us. We never met you before. They came to Peru for 10 years. He built the mission hospital, the dental eye clinic, our school, many other things. He's been working 8 hours every day for 10 years free.
That is an amazing story. That is God at work. Dr. Klaus, if you were to think about 5 or 10 years from now, what do you hope? I mean, you had a vision that got all this going well over 20 years ago. What do you hope will be accomplished in the next 10?
Well, sooner or later, who knows? I'm 64. We've got a few years left, and then we will retire. Somebody else will lead the ministry. We honestly hope that the Mission Hospital Yosemite will always focus on the poor, and always focus on the gospel. Many mission hospitals have developed from the poor man to the upper class. I know so many mission hospitals that have gone this direction, and then they're not affordable for the poor. Mm-hmm. And other hospitals have lost the focus on mission. It's a nice hospital that might even treat the poor, but they don't talk about faith. And we always want to have both things together. Mm-hmm. Helping the poor and sharing the gospel, because in the end, we all have to die. And the question whether eternal life is real and God can forgive our sins is the most important question in our lives.
Thank you for making the longest commute in history to come and be in our studio for this interview.
It was an easy ride this morning from Atlanta. I enjoyed it. It was sunshine, blue sky, and hardly any traffic.
So we'll keep on praying here at CMDA, asking our God to enable you and Martina and all your staff to live a life worthy of His call. May He give you the power to accomplish all the good things that your faith prompts you to do. And then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored. He's already been honored. Will be honored because of the way you live. And you will be honored along with Him. This is all made possible, Dr. Klaus, because of the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. That's Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians.
Thanks.
2 Thessalonians.
Thank you.
Dr. Klaus Dieter John's journey is an amazing reminder that when God calls us to a mission, He provides in ways that we could never have imagined. His faith-driven commitment to bringing healthcare to the forgotten has transformed not only lives, but entire communities there at the base of the Andes. And that's exactly what this year's CMDA National Convention is all about, friends. From May 1st through the 4th in St. Charles, Missouri, over 1,000 Christian healthcare professionals with their families, spouses, friends will come together to enjoy a heartfelt community, sharpen their understanding of cultural challenges, and stand strong for biblical truth. We have an incredible lineup of speakers waiting for you. Check them out on our website. You won't want to miss this opportunity to be inspired and equipped. So just register today at natcon.cmda.org. If Dr. Klaus's testimony inspired you, we encourage you to learn more about Diospi Suyana and support medical missions, whether through prayer or by joining a team. You can go to cmda.org/missions, and there's a lot of information and ways to get involved there. You'll find stories, resources, and opportunities to get involved in bringing Christ-centered healthcare to those in need. You heard Dr. Klaus speaking of the future and thinking through transition to a future in which others take over and follow behind us. And, well, that made me think about my own future here at CMDA and who will follow me when I retire. Well, we've got a wonderful livecast webinar coming up at CMDA March 18th, and we'll have a panel. Dr. Steve Sartori, the founder of our coaching ministry at CMDA, he'll be joining Vice President for Missions and Member Care, Pastor Bert Jones, and myself, and we'll be discussing retirement for professionals in healthcare. If you'd like to learn more and to register for that particular webinar coming up in just a couple of weeks, just go to cmda.org/retirement. Next week, I will be joined by two women who help lead our Women Physicians and Dentists in Christ ministry. Dr. Sarah Rockola, who's an internist and the chair of that commission, and Dr. Elisa Gezi, who's a geriatric dentist who heads up mentoring efforts for this 30-year-old ministry to women professionals in healthcare. So be sure to join us next week. As your chief encouragement officer at CMDA, I pray that in coming weeks, you will also see God at work in you and through you in unmistakable ways, so that your faith will be strengthened. And as a result, just like Dr. Klaus Dieter John in Peru, you will be emboldened and empowered to bring the hope and healing of Jesus Christ to your world. That's what matters to CMDA, friends, and CMDA matters. We'll see you next time, God willing.
Thanks for listening to CMDA Matters. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.